It's time for football. Football at 45 is brought to you by Workers' Compensation Fund. Whether it's the Utes, Cougars, Aggies, Wildcats, College, or the NFL, at 45 after the hour, it's Gridiron Talk. And it's only on Bill and OC, ESPN 700.
Bill and OC Show, ESPN 700. It's Utah's number one sports talk. Let's talk a little bit of football with our next guest.
Let's not bury the lead here, though. I mean, this guy's in Seattle. He's a UW grad. The news just hit the wire. 20 hours ago, I was calling him dunking basketballs at the Huntsman Center, and now he's gone. Brock Huard, ESPN 710 Seattle, ESPN TV with us here on the Bill and OC Show. Robert Upshaw got kicked off. What in the world happened? He got kicked off the team today.
Hey, I didn't come on to talk Husky hoops, okay? That's beyond my pay grade. I got nothing for you. Absolutely nothing. I, too, just saw that go down, and that's a big bummer. I do know this. I'm, you know, kind of joking a little bit with you there. I know that there was a zero-tolerance policy, that he came in with some real baggage from his past, and Lorenzo Romar was going to give him a chance, but a little bit like Percy Harvin, I think, with the Seahawks as well, Pete Carroll, Lorenzo Romar, are willing to give guys opportunities, but you bust those rules, you bust your word, you're not going to be around. And that's obviously a gigantic loss for the school record holder in season blocks. He'd already got that done and accomplished already this season. That's a big, big blow for Lorenzo.
Yeah, we'll obviously keep everyone abreast of the details as they emerge, but kind of a shock there for us and for everyone else. As long as we're talking about the University of Washington, I hope you don't mind me talking a little Huskies football with you. How far away are they from really being a Pac-12 contender? We're seeing the Pac-12 conference continue to improve, the coaches being hired. Gary Anderson adds a great staff now in Oregon State. The Pac-12 North is getting tougher, but Chris Peterson was an amazing coach at Boise State. He had three All-Americans on his team this year. How long until we're talking about the Huskies competing for conference championships?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a couple years here, guys. And there was some frustration this year for everything that you just referenced, for the amount of talent, the amount of All-Americans on that defensive side of the football, that they didn't do a little bit more. There were a bunch of losses there that you look back on, and I think people will look back on in a few years and say, man, that should have been better than an 8-win season, but it wasn't. And unfortunately, that was year number one. That's a little bit of Chris Peterson coming in and also laying down the law with the Marcus Peters and some of the other folks behind the scenes. And like any new coach that comes in, there's going to be players that don't buy in, players that are going to have to depart, and that was a little bit of the story of a season ago. I will say this, he's recruiting very, very well. He's going to put together a top 25 class, and according to the whatever service you want, and there's all sorts of these recruiting guys that you know, do an excellent job, one of those services, scout.com, has the Huskies getting 6 of the top 7 kids in the state of Washington, and that's imperative. If you're going to compete for championships, you have to keep the homegrown talent. You guys know that, and I'm sure I have very similar conversations. They have got to stay in Washington, and he's been able to do that. And I think if you were to give him truth serum, he would also tell you, hey, listen, I did not know the challenge up front that we were going to have at the line of scrimmage. Defensively, obviously, Danny Shelton, Kikahas, nice players. But offensively, even though they were veteran, they were incredibly soft. So it is paramount for him, if they're going to win championships, to continue to recruit well in state, hope one of his young quarterbacks is going to pop, and then really build those lines offensively and defensively that just have not been in a position now for well over a decade to compete for such a title.
Yeah, it's kind of – I'm really anxious. The one place I haven't called a game yet in the Pac-12 since Utah's been in there is up at Husky Stadium. I get to call a game up there because the Utes will be coming up next year, Brock, but – I'm really looking forward to this matchup because I think Utah and Washington are in similar places. Both have a lot of talent on the roster, both recruiting very well right now, but both kind of in a challenging position because both their divisions, especially the Pac-12 South, are very, very good. You could be a Utah team and win 9 games and still finish 5th in the Pac-12 South. So I'm looking forward to when these two teams renew the rivalry again next year up in Seattle.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Bill. I would say there's a couple things. Number one, when you come into town and do the basketball game at the end of the year,
yep,
make sure you get a chance to check out the football digs. The stadium was done first class, and you will really, really enjoy it. The old one was a beauty in its own way, but the press box was a disaster for anybody to come into. This new one, you're still awfully high up there, but you will see it is as good a stadium as you're going to find in college football. And then secondly, I would say that the slight difference there is Utah has been able, especially on their defensive line and their front seven, to be really, really physical. They have just had to add more dynamic players. They have had to add more speed and still have to, I think, to compete in that Pac-12 South. Washington, while always looking for difference makers, I really do think that their great challenge is going to be, and Chris Peterson is going to be defined here by whether or not he can build back that offensive and defensive line to the caliber it once was in this town.
I want to ask you about a guy who was involved in a pretty tight sack, nation-leading sack race with Haole Kikaha from the University of Washington all year. Nate Orchard, Utah player, was just named the most outstanding player for the North team in the Senior Bowl. And now the question turns to what kind of an NFL player can he be? Where is his draft status? I know you've watched this guy all season long, and you're obviously very familiar with the transition process between the Pac-12 and the NFL. What do you think the kind of ceiling draft-wise and then career-wise for Nate Orchard is?
Yeah, I think there's two things. There's two advantages that he has. Now, I don't know exactly where he's going to fit and what kind of scheme is going to be best suited to his needs and whether or not he may be a little bit of a tweener, but I know two things. And it's a little bit like Haole Kikaha up here in Seattle, who there's, I think, some similar conversations of exactly what kind of situation, what kind of system is going to be best. But two things. Number one, when you love football and you love to play the game, and I think that's exactly the case with an Orchard. It's exactly the case with a Kikaha. Well, you check that one on the priority list. And while you may think, well, that's ridiculous, everybody loves football. Everybody that plays college and pro ball loves the game. That's absolutely patently untrue. There are a lot of guys that get to college and like their scholarship, but don't necessarily like all the work that goes into to being a pro at the collegiate level. And then professionally, there's lots of guys that love the paycheck, but have no desire to do everything it requires to be really, really good and earn that paycheck. So I think that's number one. And then number two, the ability to rush the passer, the ability to get home, the ability to impact the pocket that has always been a pressing need in the NFL, and guys that are capable of doing so typically get rewarded and get rewarded in big ways. So I think those are two very important facets that he's going to bring to the table and probably more than likely see his stock rise as long as he runs really well at his combine and puts together the physical measurables I think people are anticipating. Yeah, I think he's got a chance to rise up into that draft.
Rock Heward, our guest here on the Bill and O.C. Show out of Seattle, ESPN 710. You also see him all over the place on ESPN TV. So now the big event, 6 days from now down in Glendale. I'm assuming that you're probably going down with the station doing some shows down there. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're going to head out tomorrow afternoon after our show and in the morning, and can't wait to get down there, guys. There's nothing, honestly, there's just been nothing better in this business. We've been at it as a station 6 years than being a part of it a season ago, culminating. And obviously, I think a kind of game we're not going to see this Sunday, but yeah, it'll be an absolute blast to see if these guys can continue to change the perception and change the sports landscape and community in Seattle. It is all Seahawks, Bill. When you come into town,
yep,
especially if they win that game, you're going to see 12s, more flags, more banners, more blue and green all over this city than you've ever seen in your life, man. It is really gung-ho for their football team.
How is this team different, either for the good or for the bad, from last year's team that just annihilated the Broncos? They're probably better prepared for the scene leading up to the game, but on the field on Sunday, are they a better team, or are they not quite where they were a year ago? How would you assess this team heading into the game Sunday versus a year ago?
Yeah, better is always a difficult word to try to define in some ways, especially I think if you were to ask a lot of different coaches and even players. I would say that talent-wise, they're not as deep as they were a year ago, that they were so healthy last season, that they avoided so many injuries and actually got the Percy Harvins of the world back at the end of the season to be really fresh and healthy. The loss of Brandon Mebane, the loss of Zach Miller early, the loss of Jordan Hill midseason, those are all significant difference-making players and talent that you would sure love to have in this matchup. New England, actually, I think they're a much healthier team going into this. And even a few guys in the Seahawks secondary, they're going to play through pain, but not at 100%. So I think that's first and foremost that stands out from a depth of talent standpoint. You aren't where you were a year ago. But from exactly what you just pointed to, and that's that experience of having been there and done that, know exactly what it's going to take to build up Sunday, to go through this week, to go through the exact same schedule, to kind of plug into that way. And then I would say the toughest area to maybe measure in the context of better is this group is more battle-tested, and I think this one's got even more resolve. Sitting there 3-3 and 6-4 and backs against the wall, they have honestly been playing, you know, football, having to must-win football 11 of the last 12 weeks and have gotten it done there and been on such a roll that they really have a sense of belief that is truly unique, a care for one another that you typically don't find in professional sports. And for all the talk of Deflategate galvanizing the New England Patriots, coming back from 19-7 with 4 minutes to go will do a whole lot more than any inflation or deflation of a football can.
There's a lot of local intrigue with this Seattle team, not just because of all the Fairweather fans that jumped on the Seahawk bandwagon, but because two quality young players for Pete Carroll's squad came from Utah State University. Of course, I'm talking about Bobby Wagner and Robert Turbin. What's your take on both of these guys and how big of the impact is that the former Aggies have on the Seahawks?
Good dudes, man. Good guys to be around and really, really fast. And that will have to be a critical and play a critical role Sunday down in the desert. You're talking about a really fast track down in Glendale. Most Super Bowls are, but this one, I just think because of the weather, because of the environment, it is going to be just screaming fast. And two guys who really bring that asset at their position group, that's Robert Turbin with his size and his speed, and that's especially true of Bobby Wagner right in the middle. That guy goes and plays at a speed really unique to middle linebackers in the NFL. They are really both beloved in the Seattle community, and I would expect that you're going to feel just their pure force and their pure speed play a real role come Sunday afternoon.
I want to ask you, while you didn't necessarily play at this level in the Super Bowl, you played on the highest level. Are you a believer, because the Seahawks really for 55 minutes of that game didn't play great. In fact, Green Bay outplayed them, but their resolve, they stayed with it the whole thing. Are you a big believer after a two-week layoff that you would carry momentum from one game to another? Because New England played very, very well. Seattle did not play very well till the end in overtime, so do you think that carries, or do you think you wipe the slate clean? It's a different scenario.
Bill, I'm a big believer in finish. I'm a big believer in that psychology of what these guys have really, really done year in and year out. It's what Pete did for a decade better than anybody else in college football at USC. And his record in November speaks for itself. His teams always got better. They always finished the season stronger than they began it. That's been exactly true over the last 3 years with his young quarterback under center. They get better. And in those games, man, they can be ugly. They've been down at halftime in many games. They've played ugly affairs back and forth, very closely contested. But once that fourth quarter hits, once that final 15-minute comes, they know, here it is, man. Here is the home stretch. This is what we are built for. This is what we work for. And that resolve and that just commitment to get it done when it matters the most, I'm a big believer in that. I don't know if I would define that necessarily as momentum, but just once again, that mentality, the physical and mental toughness to know when the game's on the line, we're going to get this done and have a real will to see it finished.
That's ESPN college and NFL football analyst Brock Huard. He'll, of course, be down in Glendale, Arizona this week following the Seattle Seahawks. Brock, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Hey, you got it, guys. Always fun.
Thanks, Brock.